Inshallah, we will spend most of the time talking about Sirat, which is probably one of the most crucial phases of the day, the 50,000 year day. And that is where the people who are in fear and hope, because as we said, those people who are in the middle, not decided about, when they are resurrected, they still don't know whether they go to paradise or they go to hell. It's on the Sirat which is determined which should go to hell and which should go to paradise. Even when they receive their kitab, even when their a'mal are weighed, it's still not clear whether they would go to hell or they would go to paradise. It's only on Sirat which it will become clear where they belong to. Now, after the people are given what they have sent forward for themselves, and the value of their achievements is determined by Mizan, by the balance, then they start to move to their destiny. For those who are not ready to be admitted to paradise, there is still another lifeline. So Sirat is a lifeline. It's not somewhere which you are sent there to somehow slip into hell. It's another lifeline. After you have received all these things, if it is not yet determined where you should go, then you go through a sort of a compensating process. Sirat is a sort of compensating process, compensating for your shortcomings that you had in this world. Now, when we talk about the different phases on Sirat, it will become clear why it makes up for our shortfalls and shortcomings in this world. There is only one verse in the Quran which is thought to be an allusion to Sirat. Of course, as we discussed, there were many verses talking about the Kitab, Hisab, Mizan. But there's only one verse which, as I said, is thought to be an allusion to Sirat. And that's the famous verses, three, four verses in Surah Maryam. Now, the verse says, وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ أَإِذَا مَا مِتُّ لَسَوْفَ أُخْرَجُ حَيَّا أَوَلَا يَذْكُرُ الْإِنسَانُ أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ وَلَمْ يَكُ شَيْئًا. Man says, shall I, when I have died, be brought forth alive? Does not man remember that we created him before when he was nothing? So if he does think that he would not come back alive, let me tell you what will happen. فَوَرَبِّكْ لَنَحْشُرَنَّهُمْ وَالشَّيَاطِينَ. This is what will happen. By your Lord, we will surely gather them and the devils. As I said, the devils who actually work to lead us astray will also be raised. They will try to make us responsible for what happens. We try to make them responsible for what has happened. But anyhow, both of us will come together. By your Lord, we will surely gather them and the devils. Then we will surely bring them up around hell, scrambling on their knees. So we'll bring you up around the hell. Then from every group we shall draw whichever of them was more defiant to the all beneficent. A group should fall into hell. Then surely we'll know best those who deserve most to enter it. Means, of course, we will know best. Means that there will be a process through which those who should fall into the hell will fall into the hell. Now, this is what is the very crucial verse, which says, وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًا. There is none of you but will come to it. So it is not when Allah says, we bring them all round the hell, scrambled on their knees, there is none of you but you will come to that position. And this is something that your Lord, a matter that is a decided certainty with your Lord, then of course what will happen, we will deliver those who are God-weary and leave the wrongdoers in it fallen on their knees. Now, we take all you round the hell. Those who should enter will enter. We will save others. And the traditions tell us that this is where you have to go, either through or over the hell. Everyone. Now, how this happens and why this should happen? Based on this, the traditions talk about Sirat being a bridge over or a path through the hell leading to paradise. It's either a bridge over the hell or a path through the hell. And that means everyone to go to paradise should go either over the hell or through the hell. Now, those who say through the hell, they say that although they go through the hell, but they would not realize that the hell is blazing, has the fire in it because of their faith. They do not realize it. But most of the traditions say that there's a bridge over it. And bridge, of course, we will discuss, is not a physical bridge. We are not moving into physical space. We are moving into dimensions. So there is no physical bridge. Unless if we are quite literalist to think that, yes, there is really a physical bridge. That means that the way to paradise passes through the hell, as the way to akhirah passes through dunya. And this is why many exegetes who have some mystical taste, they say that actually the way we pass through this world on Siratul Mustaqim, undeviated, is the path on Sirat to paradise. That is the reality of it, which will become clear for us. In fact, we are now passing over the Sirat, because around us is all hell. وَإِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Jahannam is surrounding kafirin. Now, there is a straight path which leads us out of this Jahannam, and that is As-Siratul Mustaqim in this world, which somehow we realize it is that Sirat which would lead us to paradise through the hell. But anyhow, whichever way we describe it, the way to paradise passes over Sirat, over the hell, or through the hell. If this is Mahshar, where all people are resurrected, whatever imagination we can give it, and if this is paradise, and we have to go from Mahshar, Mahshar is the place of gathering, where everyone is gathered for judgment. If we want to go to paradise, this is the hell. How should we go there? There is no way, unless through the hell. There is no way. It isn't the case that Allah wants to show everyone what hell is. No. This is how these dimensions are situated. If you want to go through one dimension to another dimension, you have to move like this. And this is the bridge, isn't it? There should be a bridge over this hell to lead us to paradise. Now, suppose this is dunya, and dunya is actually surrounded by all these temptations and everything, and these temptations is like a hell. Actually, the hell is what we do to ourselves because of these temptations. And there is only one way out of this, and that is following Siratul Mustaqim. So, as we have in hadith of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, As-Siratu Siratan, Siratun fil dunya wa Siratun fil akhirah. Sirat, one Sirat is in dunya, one Sirat is in akhirah. The Sirat in dunya is the Imam. Now, by the imam, we mean the imam which does not part from the Qur'an. The imam which actually is the manifestation of all concepts of the Qur'an. This is the sirat in dunya. If you follow this sirat in dunya, you will pass the sirat in akhirah. However, this is of course our imagination, a sort of physical imagination of what this is. It is rather a different, maybe the sirat, the better picture is that the sirat is all over. So if this is hell, it's not coming, yeah. If this is hell, now, these are the sirats. Sirat, it's all over. So the sirat is all over the hell, and people will pass over it. And there is a hadith from the Prophet, I don't know how authentic this is, but it says, قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم فيضرب بالصراط بأرض جهنم. Sirat is placed over the width of the hell. So all this will be a sirat which leads us to paradise. From mahshar, it leads us to paradise. Now, I couldn't show, because if I wanted to show the width of the hell would have disappeared. It's not fair. So, I have shown it like this. What I want to say is that don't think that it's just a sort of funny thing that people should run over the sirat to go to the hell and some would sleep, can't do it. No, it's a process of moving from darkness to light, just like this world. Now this is the meaning of the hadith. The hell, yeah, thank you. Jahannam tuhitu bi dunya wal janna min wara'iha. فلذلك صار الصراط على جهنم طريقا الى الجنه. The hell surrounds the world, and for that reason sirat on the whole is a path to paradise, just as I discussed, as I explained. So however, not everyone will pass over this sirat. You remember I said there are two different sirats. This sirat is for the hopeful, those who still have some hope that they may pass it. They may fall, but there is still some hope for them. There is another sirat for those who have no hope at all. So, in fact, there are two paths. One is the path which leads the faithless to hell, and the other is the one which hopefully leads people to paradise over the hell or through hell. Hopefully. This sirat is for the faithful. But we know many faithful will go to hell because they are evildoers. From Islam, from Christianity, from Judaism, from every religion, there are people who will go to hell. But these people, before going to hell, they have to pass over this bridge to see if they can make it. This one is for those who absolutely reject God. There is nothing for them to try. There is no hope for them, actually, to go over this bridge, over this sirat. Now, we'll discuss what does it mean. Try to take this physical sort of dimension out of your mind. I know it's very difficult. After the judgment is made by God through the process of hisab, which we discussed last week, people will part to go through these two paths. So one is the path of the hopeless. This path of the hopeless is mentioned in the verses of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَظَلَمُوا لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَحْذِيَهُمْ طَرِيقًا إِلَّا طَرِيقَ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. Indeed, those who are faithless and do wrong, Allah shall never forgive them, nor shall He guide them to any path except the path to hell. They are not going to go over the sirats. They are going to go to another path which leads them directly down to hell. to remain in it forever, and that is easy for Allah. And in another, in Surah Safat, احشروا الذين ظلموا وأزواجهم وما كانوا يعبدون من دون الله فاهدوهم إلى صراط الجحيم. صراط الجحيم is the path of Jahannam. So there is one Sirat which is Sirat al-Jahim and another Sirat which is Sirat al-Jannah. However, not everyone will make it over Sirat al-Jannah. So, muster the wrongdoers and their mace and what they used to worship. Now by mace, it means their shayateen, not of course wives and husbands, because a wife may go to paradise, a husband may go to hell and vice versa. So, muster the wrongdoers and their mace and what they used to worship beside Allah and show them the way to hell. This is the path of the hopeless. This is where they directly go to hell. Now, the other one is the path of the hopefuls. Now, the scary thing is that this is for the believers. This path, this sirat, is for those who claim they believe in God. And this is where many cannot make it and cannot pass over it. Now, this is what we usually know as Sirat, and is a path which may lead to paradise. I say may lead to paradise because not everyone can go it to the end. Or on which may lose our bearings and fall into hell. And when I say lose our bearings, this is very accurate term. We lose our bearings not knowing what to do when we come into different stations. Because there are different stations in Sirat. And suddenly, just being, for example, struck by a hammer on our head, we lose our bearings and we just fall. The description of this path according to Shaykh al-Saduq is as follows. Now this description is very important because this is almost the same in both Sunni and Shi'i traditions, the way the Sirat is. Of course this is a bit more elaborate, the description which is given by Shaykh al-Saduq. Now Shaykh al-Saduq says that i'tiqaduna, you know Shaykh al-Saduq has a book called i'tiqadat, our beliefs, which means the Shia beliefs, because he was Shaykh al-Shia, so he wrote Shia beliefs. About Sirat, he says, اِعْتِقَادُنَا فِي الْأَقَبَاتِ الَّتِي عَلَىٰ تَرِيقِ الْمَحْشَرِ. Our belief about the uphill turns. Aqaba, you know, when we want to go on mountains, when the turns and bends on mountains becomes very, very difficult and narrow, that's Aqaba. So, there are Aqabat عَلَىٰ تَرِيقِ الْمَحْشَرِ, on the path of Mahshar, which is Sirat. Of course, he explains later that this is Sirat, what I mean by that. Our belief about the uphill turns on the path of Mahshar is that every one of those turns is named after an obligation, a command, or a prohibition. So you should imagine that on Sirat there are mountains. Now, let's give it physical imagination. There are mountains. And you have to pass over one mountain, come down, and pass over another mountain and come down. However, you don't pass it like this because it's impossible. You have to go on bends to reach the top and then go down again. Now, some of these bends are very, very dangerous. Very dangerous. And in the Quran, you have the term Aqaba as well in Surah Balad. فَلَقْ تَحَمَ الْأَقَبَ. He hasn't come up to the uphill turn. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْأَقَبَةِ. What is Aqaba? Now, exactly this physical sort of concept is used for what Shaykh says, that after an obligation, is named after an obligation or a command or a prohibition. Because the Quran says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْأَقَبَةِ. What is Aqaba? What is this uphill bend? فَكُّ رَقَبَةِ. Freeing a slave. أو إطعام في يوم ذي مسغبة, or feeding on the day of hunger, when there is famine, when there is scarcity, you feed other people. أو إطعام في يوم ذي مسغبة, يتيما ذا مقربة, أو مسكينا ذا مقربة. You see, These are obligations, but Allah calls it Aqaba. Now here, traditions say that yes, it's not only these things which are called Aqaba. Every obligation, every command or every prohibition is one Aqaba. And you have to pass over these Aqabat. And that's why it may be very, very long. I mean, going up all these mountains and coming down and going through all these bends. And then he says that فَمَثَلٌ تَهَى الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ عَقَبَةٍ إِسْمُهَا فَرْضٌ. Let me just read the English. When a person arrives at a turn named after an obligation and is short of fulfilling that obligation, they will be apprehended there and will be questioned about God's view in that obligation. If he exits that turn due to a righteous act he has sent forward, or a breeze of mercy encompassing him, he is saved from it into another turn. Now, why I say this is a lifeline for us? You see, you cannot enter paradise until you have fully internalized what Allah tells you to do. In fact, what Allah tells us leads us to paradise. Because these are the merits of soul. These are the high qualities of the soul. You cannot be admitted. It's impossible. Not that Allah doesn't want it. Yeah, Allah wants it. Allah wants all of us to go to paradise. But you cannot go unless you have internalized all these things so that you are qualified, you become suitable, appropriate for that place. So, for example, Allah tells us to do salats. We do salats. We pray. But what kind of prayer? This prayer wouldn't lead to paradise. Wouldn't make us to fulfill what is needed for that place. You know, paradise is not a sort of ordinary place. You are going to become like God, isn't it? Lahumma yasha'un, whatever you want. Now, how can we come to a position where we can have whatever we want? We have to have qualities which make us suitable for this position. If we have the slightest type of evil in our heart, slightest arrogance, we are going to destroy paradise, isn't it? In a place where we want everything, when we can do whatever we want, when we can have everything. So, when we are told to be humble in our prayers, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, because this gives you that quality. Now, have we attained it? Not really. So we go over the salat, we come to this aqaba which is called salat. We come to this aqaba which is called salat. We haven't performed something which is adequate. We haven't obtained the adequacy. So we have to stay there, and what comes to us is a sort of perfection of salat. Our salat is perfected in that aqaba, in that station, if it is something that could be perfected, if it is useful at all. If it's not useful at all, there's no need to continue. You fall. There's no need to continue. Okay? But if it is something that could be helped, if it's something that could be assisted, the assistance will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why I said this is a lifeline. This is a lifeline. Never think in this very clumsy way that Allah is waiting to punish. Allah has not created us to punish us. He just wants to take us where even the angels would prostrate for us. So that is a very high place. So we have to become qualified. Now, if we can, so for example, we have performed lots of salat, we have performed nawafil and all these things, and all these together would tell us, okay, with the assistance of God, with the blessings and help coming, now pass to the other aqaba. Now we come to aqaba
the aqaba of zakat. Then we come to the aqaba of silatul rahim. Then to the aqaba of husnul khulq. Ya Allah, how are we going to pass all these? How are you going to pass all these? However, you cannot go before you complete all these. So, this is what Shaykh is saying. Shaykh al-Saduq is saying that. So if he exits that turn due to a righteous act he has sent forward, or a breeze of mercy encompassing him, he sails from it into another aqabah, another mountain. فَلَا جَزَالْ يُطْفَعُ مِنْ عَقَبَةٍ إِلَىٰ عَقَبَةٍ وَيُحْبَسُ عِنْدَ كُلَّ عَقَبَةٍ. Now the English says, so he constantly is driven from one aqaba to another aqaba, and is detained in each aqaba to be questioned about his shortcoming regarding the name of that aqaba. The name of that aqaba is salat, zakat, or whatever obligation, command, or prohibition. And if he is saved from all that, he will arrive in the eternal abode and will live a life which never ends and will reside in the neighborhood of God. Neighborhood of God cannot be attained without enough merits and qualities. I have mentioned this hadith several times because although the chain of transmission of the hadith may be not very strong, but it conforms with the Quran. It conforms with the Quran, so we take it. When you enter paradise, after you settle down, inshallah, you will receive a letter from your Lord, which is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, min al-hayy al-ladhi la yamut, ila al-hayy al-ladhi la yamut. This is a letter from the living who never dies to the living who never dies. Isn't it? You're not going to die there anymore. He says, I am the one, the powerful, and I can do whatever you want, and from this day you can do whatever you want. Now, this is a high position. You cannot attain it like that. So you have to go through all these processes. So, but if unfortunately he's detained in an aqaba which has fallen short of its rights, and is questioned about it, and he is not saved by a righteous act he has sent forward, or is not encompassed by the mercy of God, then he will slip from that uphill to the hell. Is that the end of it? No. Allah is more merciful to leave us even at these last points. This is where Shafa'a comes in. Now we'll talk about that later. You see how many different stations he has set for us so that we do not go to hell. So that we do not go to hell. This is what Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam said, that I am surprised from the one who goes to hell how they go to hell. How is it, how they make it possible for themselves to go to hell. Now, then he says, and all these uphill turns and bends are located on the Sirat. So you can imagine, even if you want to imagine in a physical term, you can imagine what sort of thing it is. It's not just a bridge like London Bridge or something like that. It's something, even physically imagining it would be very, very different. And all these uphill turns are located on the Sirat. The name of one of these of course, he has taken this from the Riwayat now. The name of one of these turns is Wilaya, which is the most important. And that's Wilayatullah, Wilayatul Rasul, Wilayatul Awliyaillah, which of course should be discussed somewhere else. And the most significant of all is Mirsad. Mirsad is the ambush place where people stay in ambush for others. And this is where Allah waits in ambush. This is a very, very terrifying sort of concept, as it's mentioned in the Quran. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Your Lord is waiting in ambush. For who? For those who wrong others. This is the most difficult place. So, and the most significant of all is mirsad, which is referred to by the verse, indeed your Lord is in ambush. Allah the Most Exalted say, I swear by my might and my glory that oppression of no oppressor will pass me. I stop them here. And I question them about what they have done. Now you can imagine, this is why all the mystics that I trust, they have said, if you are wronging someone, or if you have wronged someone, whether it's your wife, your husband, your children, your friends, and by wronging, it doesn't mean killing or taking property, no. Just being harsh to them, or whatever. Do not aspire for spirituality. It's not possible. It's just not possible. Don't think that you can do this and you can be spiritual. It's not something which may happen. So, the oppression will not pass me. And he says, وَأَسْمُ عَقَبَةٍ مِنْهَا الرَّحِمِ وَأَسْمُ عَقَبَةٍ مِنْهَا الْأَمَانَةِ وَأَسْمُ عَقَبَةٍ مِنْهَا الصَّلَاةِ. And, sorry, one of these aqabat is called rahim, family ties. What have you done to your family ties? Have you wronged it? Have you met the standards of living a good, having a good relation with your family? Another one is al-amana, trust. And another one is salat. Of course, unfortunately, we do not have time to discuss all these ethical sort of terms. But it's quite clear what these aqabat mean on sirat. Oops, sorry. And then he says that, and there is an aqaba by the name of every obligation or command or prohibition in which the person is detained and questioned. So you can imagine how long this sirat is going to be. How long and how protracted the time that people may spend on this path. What all these descriptions tell us is that every obligation has a reality that we have to attain it before we are admitted into paradise, as I said. If we have not completed that in this world, it will be completed on Sirat. Hopefully, it will be completed on Sirat. Let's make Sirat easier for ourselves. And we will come to that. Some people would pass this just like lightning. They are not stopped anywhere. Or if they are stopped, they are stopped shortly and go. Why? Because they have attained the admission in this world. They don't need to be held there. And if you have not completed that in this world, it will be completed on Sirat. In other words, to be admitted to paradise, all good qualities must be completed in the soul, and all evil must be removed from it. The good qualities are command, and the evils are prohibitions. Certainly, Allah only commands us to good and prohibits us from evil. This is why it is reported from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, As-Sirat At-Tariqu ila Ma'rifatillah. Now, this is beautiful, the most beautiful description of the Sirat in the other world. Because it's through these things that we know God, that our heart purifies and reflects God. If not in this world, on Sirat. If not on Sirat, you fall down. No Tariq ila Ma'rifatillah. So Sirat is the path to knowing God. Now, look what Sheikh Mufid says. Usually whatever Sheikh Saduq writes, Sheikh Mufid comments on it in a critical way. Yes.
Is this related to
this, Sirat al-Mustaqim? Yes, Sirat al-Mustaqim is actually what would transpire to be in the other world as the Sirat on. In this world, Sirat al-Mustaqim is a path which leads us to paradise in the same way that Sirat in the Akhirah would lead us to paradise. Let's just skip this Arabics. And Sheikh al-Mufid commented on a saduq as follows: the aqabat are nothing but the scrutiny of obligations. Because saduq, when he was writing this, probably he had in mind that these are physical realities. Now, Mufid wants to take this away. He wants to say that it's absurd to think that on the day of judgment you have to climb a mountain called Salat or climb a mountain called Zakat. As many literalists have done, actually, if you look into many literalist books, you see that they say exactly that, yes, these are physical things and you have to climb them. He says that they do not mean that in reality there will be mountains to be climbed. Indeed, the obligations are simulated to uphill bends in the sense that the difficulties a person may face to be released from their shortcomings in devotion to God is like an uphill bend which exhausts them if they want to climb and pass it, especially in the other world. And then he says that Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam said, indeed there are back-breaking aqabas and horrifying stations ahead of you. This is when Amirul Mu'mineen is describing the sirats. Ala inna wara'akum aqabatan ka'uda. You have no choice but to pass through it and to stop over it. Then either you will be saved by mercy of God or will perish with the destruction after which there is no cure. This is what Sirat Mufid reports from Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And then he says that it's a sort of a spiritual journey, not a physical journey that you will have. Just like a spiritual journey that you will have in this world, you will have that spiritual journey there. Now, this being the case, one can imagine that going through such a process will last longer for some and shorter for others. Certainly, if you have accomplished everything in this world, you just pass like a lightning. If you have accomplished something, you may just run over the sirats. Now, this is what the hadith tells us, that those who have not followed Sirat al-Mustaqim properly in this world should spend some time on sirat in the other world. As I said, this is the sirat of the hopeful and the faithful, not the sirat of the evil ones, which directly goes to hell. So, Imam As-Sadiq has described this sirat as, it is thinner than hair and sharper than sword. Now, again, I said that it's all over the place. So, when we say thinner and sharper, not in physical sense, as in a conceptual sense, because it's very, very difficult to keep your bearings and stay steadfast on it. Some will pass over it like the lightning. Some will pass like a horse rider. Some will pass on the foot. Some will crawl. And some will pass hanging from it. And fire takes some parts of them and leave some parts. Just very, very edge on the edge, isn't it? Quite on the edge. They don't know. And every moment they may just let their grip leave them and fall into the hell. Moreover, there is no light on Sirat. Now, this is another problem. This old mountains and this thing, which I said is a metaphorical description, you have to go it in darkness unless you have taken light with you. Unless you have taken light with you. And every individual should have their own lights. This darkness is one of the most agonizing features of Sirat. The only light there is, light of the heart. If your heart has light, then you have light there. قوله تعالى يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم قال الصادق عليه السلام يقسم النور بين الناس يوم القيامة على قدر إيمانهم. Now the day you will see the faithful men and women with their light moving swiftly before them
and on their right. And Imam al-Sadiq said, sorry, I have missed some part of translation. Imam al-Sadiq said that the light will be distributed among people according to their faith. The more faithful, the more light you can project forwards and can the light forward and can move faster. Because if there is light, you can move. If there's no light, you have to just sit waiting for some light to come. Because you don't know the next step you take, you don't know whether it takes you forward or you fall down into the hell.
قَالَ قَتَادَهُ إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ قَتَادَهُ is one of the tabi'un from Mufassirun, the Exodus. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ يُضِيءُ لَهُ نُورُهُ كَمَا بَيْنَ عَدَنْ إِلَى صَنْعَى وَدُونِ ذَلِكَ.
For some believers, their light illuminates like the distance between Sana'a and Adan. Just if you have a car, how far a car's headlights can illuminate for you the road ahead. Some cars may be up to 100 meters, but here this light, then it means your steps can be very wide. You can just move forward very quickly. Yeah, there are two cities in Yemen, Sana'a and Adan. Of course, maybe several hundred kilometers away. What happened? I think something happened. We fell in hell. That's it. Ah, it's gone. Sorry, it was. Yeah. And its magnitude. Its magnitude may be such to illuminate between Sana'a and Adan, several hundred kilometers, and less to the extent that some people's light would illuminate only in front of their feet. So you have to move, just see a little bit, move, wait, again see a little bit, move, and you can imagine how long this is going to last. When you want to pass over Sirat, we are actually imagining it in a physical way now. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said their light will be given to them commensurate to the acts of devotion, to their a'mal. For some, their light is as big as a mountain, and the least light will be like a flashlight on the thumb, which is lit once and goes off once. كلما أضاء لهم مشوا فيه in Surah Baqara وإذا أظلم عليهم قاموا. If its light gives light for them, they move. If it is dark, if it goes off, they have to stop. Very cumbersome, isn't it? Very cumbersome. So let's make it here. Don't leave it for Sirat. Don't leave it for Sirat. Yes. A Surah Hadith. There is a continuation for it. We will see shortly. Now, to this alludes the verses in Surah Al Hadid. Yeah, these are the surahs, and the number is there. The day you will see the faithful men and women with their light moving swiftly before them and on their right, and greeted with words, there is good news for you today. Gardens with the streams running in them, to remain in them forever. This gives the strength of heart, isn't it? Come, the angels will say, come, that's ending, come on. Here is paradise. Come in the light of your faith, the day the hypocrites, men and women, will say to the faithful, please let up on us, that we may glean something from your light. They will be told, go back and grope for light. Go back means go back to the life, to this world. The light should come from here. No one can use other person's light there. Then there will be set up between them a wall with a gate with mercy on its interior and punishment towards its exterior. Now, this is when the mu'min realizes that they are now passing through the Sirat. And of course, the verses continue. They will call out them, "Did we not used to be with you?" This is why I said, this is for all those who call themselves Muslims. Now they all come over the Sirat. They will say, "Yes, but you cast yourself into temptation and you awaited and were doubtful, and false hopes deceived you until the edict of Allah arrived and the deceiver deceived you concerning Allah," that's Shaitan. "So today, no ransom shall be taken from you, nor from the faithless. The fire will be your abode. It is your ultimate refuge and an evil place." Now, this is a more graphic description in Sunni sources. Kanzul Umal of Muttaqi al-Hindi says that يَمُرُّ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ جَسْرِ جَهَنَّمْ وَعَلَيْهِ حَسَكٌ وَكَلَابِيبٌ وَخَطَاطِيفٌ. People will pass over the bridge over the hell, of the hell. On that bridge there are thorns and grapples and grapnels right and left. So you may be hooked very quickly by one of these things, and thorny path, and the angels are on both sides pleading to God, "Save, save." Allahumma sallam. In many traditions, both in Shia and Sunni, we have that angels are on both sides, the prophets are on the gate of paradise, and everyone is saying, "Allahumma sallim, sallim." God, save them, save them. You see, this is again the mercy of God coming, that everyone wants these to be saved and come over and pass through the Sirat. So the angels will say, "Allahumma sallim, sallim." So some will pass like the lightning, some like the wind, some like the horse, some will run with the speed, some will walk, some will creep, and some will crawl. Different sort of situations that people will have in passing this. Now, it is all given in physical description. However, as I said, just take out the physical dimension from your mind. I know it's not possible. And then, of course, the continuation of that hadith says that the people of the hell are in the hell, not living and not dying. They are already entered. They didn't come over this Sirat. They went from the other Sirat. But there are people who are caught for their sins and failings. These are burnt until they become like charcoal. These are the ones who fell from the Sirat. Now I want to come to another concept now. Like charcoal, then the permission for intercession is issued. Now, up till now, the permission for intercession was not, because intercession is done by permission of Allah. لا يشفعون إلا لمن ارتضى. The Shafi'een will not do Shafa'ah unless for anyone that Allah is pleased that Shafa'ah would reach them. لا يملكون الشفاعة. No one owns شفاعة إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون. Unless those who know the حق, they have witnessed حق, and they have huge knowledge. Here, when the people fall from light and right and left to hell, of course they go, they are scorched there, and then the permission for شفاعة is given for the people to be brought out. Now, of course, over the Sirat there may be some Shafa'ah as well, before people falling in. There may be some Shafa'ah, but most of the Shafa'ah comes when people fall in and are somehow would somehow taste the fire to some extent. Then the permission for intercession is issued and they are saved in throngs. Then they are thrown into a river of paradise and they sprout like the sprouting of the seed on the side of the floodway. Their flesh comes back, their ugly face would turn to beautiful face and all these. However, this is the Shafa'ah for those who fall into hell. As I said, some people are saved before falling into hell. And this is, of course, supported by many verses of the Quran and many traditions. Now, the verses which say for Ahl Jahannam, for some of them, the kuffar shafa'a would not work, is the verse in the Quran, فَمَا تَنْفَأُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِئِينَ. There are some shafi'een, there are intercessors, those who intercede. They do intercede, however, it does not help. Now, I will give you an explanation of shafa'a according to what I understand shafa'a is, and then we will see whether these traditions and ayat would confirm it or not. But let's see what shafa'a is before that in these traditions. Who would need intercession? There are some traditions, and we have two contradictory sets of traditions about who would need shafa'a, and we'll discuss it to somehow remove the ambiguity. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, this is a very, of course, famous hadith, both in Sunni and Shi'i traditions, إِنَّمَا شَفَاعَتِي لِأَحْلِ الْكَبَائِرَ مِنْ أُمَّتِي فَأَمَّا الْمُحْسِنُونَ فَمَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. My intercession is for those who commit grave sins from my ummah. But the muhsinun, there is no harm on them. They don't need shafa'a. My shafa'a is for those who do grave sins. What about those who do small sins? They are forgiven without shafa'a, isn't it? إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ يُكَفَّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. If you avoid grave sins, then of course the small sins are forgiven. But that means if you commit a small sin, that means you have left something for the Sirat. Don't leave anything for Sirat, okay? It's a very horrifying place if you want to somehow be kept on it for a while. It's a very horrible place. Now, Al-Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ نَشْفَعُ فِي الْمُذْنِبِينَ مِنْ شِيَتَنَا فَأَمَّا الْمُحْسِنُونَ فَقَدْ نَجَاهُمُ اللَّهِ. On the day of judgment, we intercede for the sinners of our Shia, as the Prophet would intercede for the sinners of the Ummah. The same thing. Jesus would intercede for the sinners of the Christian faith. Not for Mushrikun, of course, for the sinners of Christian faith. But the righteous, they are saved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, two sets of traditions we have on intercession. One is, this summarizes what we had we discussed in the past two traditions. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Al-mu'minu mu'minan, mu'minun sadaqa bi'ahdillah wa wafa bi'sharteh. The believers are of two types: a believer who fulfills the pledge and completes the conditions of God as an instance of رِجَالٌ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. This is the verse. As an instance of the verse, among the faithful are men who fulfill what they have pledged to Allah. These would not be inflicted by the calamities of dunya, neither by the calamities of the dunya, nor by the calamities of akhirah. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. They are among those who intercede and not interceded for. So it's not only prophets or a'imma who would intercede. Even the muhsinun will intercede. In many traditions we have that a good man in a tribe or in a family may intercede for 70 members of his family, for example. So try to be good so that to save others as well. And a believer who is like young crop, bends at times and stands at times by the wind, isn't it? These are afflicted by the calamities of dunya and by the calamities of akhirah. By calamities, it doesn't mean the physical calamities, of course, material calamities. Calamities which is related to soul, which are related to soul. They are among those who are interceded for and do not intercede. For among the mu'minun, there are those who intercede, and there are those who need intercession. Just like prophets, and of course, intercession has a hierarchical sort of We have to have a hierarchical sort of picture of intercession. Those who are lower are interceded for by those who are above them, and these are interceded for by those who are above them, and those are interceded for by those who are above them, and this solves the problem of the contradiction of these two sets of traditions. Now, what is the other sort? How is reported in a different set of traditions that مَا أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخَرِينَ إِلَّا وَهُوَ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَىٰ شَفَاعَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. There is no one among the first generations and the last but who need the intercession of Muhammad, peace be on him, on the day of resurrection. What about A'imma? Yes, they need intercession of Muhammad. What about prophets? Yes, they need intercession of Muhammad. أَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Your Lord is going to raise you to a very, very acclaimed position. That acclaimed position in all traditions, all exegesis, they say is Shafa'ah. And then what's the difference then? Those traditions say that some mu'minun do not need Shafa'ah, they do Shafa'ah for others. It's only those who commit grave sins who are in need of Shafa'ah. Here, traditions say that everyone is in need of Shafa'ah of Muhammad, peace be on him. Yes, it's the degrees. To be saved from the hell, only those who have done grave sins. Because Quran clearly says that if you haven't committed grave sins, you will be saved by Allah. You don't need Shafa'ah. This is to be saved from hell. To be saved from hell, you need that Shafa'ah. And maybe the Prophet do Shafa'ah for you. Maybe your family members do Shafa'ah for you. It's possible to be saved from. However, if you want to go higher and higher in paradise, everyone needs the Shafa'ah of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Now, what does that mean? What does Shafa'ah mean? Now, before I mention that, there's one other tradition which, of course, the meaning of it is found in many other traditions as well. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلَهِ وَسَلَّمَ الشُّفَعَاءُ خَمْسَةٌ. Those who intercede are five. The Quran, the blood relation, the trust, your prophet, and Ahlul Bayt of your prophet. Now, this means that if you have recited the Quran and you have internalized it, this will become your Shafi on the Day of Judgment. Rahim, that means if you have done good to your blood relations, that will give you Shafa'ah. However, this is a different meaning of Shafa'ah, but generally we can explain Shafa'ah as such. Why Shafa'ah is needed? Why should Prophet actually plead to God on our behalf? Why should, for example, one other family member of us plead to God? Now, again, you are thinking of it in this worldly matter of intercession, Shafa'ah, which is absolutely denied in the Quran. This worldly type of Shafa'ah is absolutely denied. That there is no Shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment, the way the Kuffar were thinking of Shafa'ah, in that sense. Now, Shafa'ah means for going to paradise. If you are not qualified, you can get support from someone who can push you forward. And that is, he can give you some of the qualities of his soul, so that suppose your soul is empty, completely empty, and the other soul is actually gushing out with medicine qualities. Never ending. And then you establish a pipe between these two. Okay? That one, the pipe, would bring all those qualities into you. The only condition, and you see how Allah is merciful, the only condition is that you do not break that pipe. If you break that pipe, there is no Shafa'ah. Because how those qualities can come to you? It's impossible. It's impossible for those qualities to pour down into your soul. But if you have a link, no matter how narrow, how small that link is, gradually the qualities will fill you with the downpour will fill you with those qualities gradually. Now that's why shafa'a for some people take longer, for some people take shorter. Some people are saved on sirat by shafa'a. Some people go to hell and are saved after a couple of years. Some people are saved by shafa'a after a couple of thousands of years. Why? Because this pipe can be wide, can be very narrow. What is this pipe? It's faith. It's faith. And Allah says that, I swear, I will save from hell anyone who has a speck of faith in his heart. Why? Because this speck of faith would establish a small link, a very narrow pipe, with the soul of someone who has faith. And then the qualities gradually come, and fill you and take you out of hell. This is the meaning of shafa'ah. That actually Allah gives you help through the qualities of other people because of your connection. When we say connection, we don't need family connection or friendship connection. No, because your heart connects to their heart. And their qualities can come in exactly like this world. Now, if you love the Prophet, for example, what happens? Whatever you hear from the Prophet goes into your heart, isn't it? So you are guided. If you hate the Prophet, if you are careless at all, if you don't care at all, nothing would go into your heart. That is exactly the same in that world. And shafa'a will take those who establish a link between themselves and the Prophet. And this is for being saved from the hell and also for going higher and higher in degrees in paradise. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Tahir. Sorry, Firuz, you wanted to ask something.
No, I wanted to ask you what the link is.
What the?
You explained the link, but the link is faith.
Yeah, the link is faith. The link is faith, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. That's
what would it benefit the one in the highest religion?
You see, here we think about benefits. Here we think about benefits. Just think about God. What's the benefit for God for all these creation? Huh? Every sort of concept that we have in this world would change there. The benefit, the one who intercedes, actually takes more benefits than the one who is interceded for. Why? Because he does something which is like the act of God, isn't it? The one who intercedes, that's why Allah says about the Prophet, "Asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maghaman mahmuda." That's a very, very high position. Yes. In this world, we don't call it shafa'a, we call it guidance. Okay? Yeah, exactly. The same thing. Yeah, the same. Principle is the same. The guidance will bring shafa'a.
And the love will bring the guidance.
Yeah. Yes.
What is the condition of the shafa'a? I mean, what do we have to do to be involved with the shafa'a?
To have faith. To have faith, yes. To have faith would include us, but depending on the strength and weakness of faith, it takes longer or shorter to be taken out of difficulties by shafa'ah. Because, as I said, there should be a sort of downpour of qualities from one to the other. Faith to Allah. Okay? Now we are talking about very general sort of event which includes all humanity. We are not talking about only Muslimin. We are talking about people of every faith, from the beginning up till now. Yes.
You said there was a one. I guess you said that
Now we have in Surah Ahzab, we have من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله. There are people among the faithful who fulfill the pledge which they have given to Allah. Now this pledge is in different aspects of our life. For example, they gave a pledge to the Prophet that they would protect him. This was a pledge to God. Also, we have given a pledge to God in our fitrah. That's another pledge we have given to God. We have given a pledge by declaring that we are Muslims. We have given a pledge to follow Quran. That's another pledge. So if we fulfill all these, we are from those who have fulfilled our pledge with Allah. Sorry, someone is... inshallah, we'll go and see. But when you are placed in one station of paradise, yes, of course, the whole people would move like just a spaceship up towards Allah. So every day they go higher and higher. However, the stations don't change. They stay in their own stations. So you cannot come from the station that you are to a station that someone who's better than you is placed. But both of you together move up. So, for example, tomorrow you come to his station, but he has passed that station already and moved up.
What about the ayah in the Quran says that nobody can be the burden of another person that they miss out of that and kind of share it before you get, you know, the result of the amal. So is the iman of amal or the where the shafa'at comes in? If my amal is bad more than, you know, the bad is more than the good, so can the shafa'at work?
Oh, yes, of course. You know, as we discussed here, we had a process on the Day of Judgment. Yes, everyone saw what they did, the good, the bad, and then they were given the value of what good they had done, on balance, and all these things have come. Now you come to the very end. You either have to go to hell or go to paradise. Now, which one would please God more? For you to go to hell or to go to paradise? And he has made ways for it, if it is possible. If it is possible. Now, no man takes the burden of another man. Shafa is not taking burdens. You see, Shafa is giving help. It's different from taking burdens of other people. So that's the difference. Yes. Yeah, that's the same thing. That the Aqaba was actually obligations. The obligations were mentioned as Aqaba. So this is the Aqaba which will be. No, that's another verse. No. No. Malhawiyah. No. But that's not how it. Wama adraka. No. النار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة. Which surah is it in? Huh? القارعة. ما القارعة؟ وما أدراك ما القارعة؟ يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالإهن المنفوش. فأما من فأمه هاوية. وما not أقبة. You see. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. Yeah. Anything else? Yes. 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 Are expected to go to heaven. Yeah, good Christians, of course. Why not? Exactly. But probably we have our different areas in paradise and in hell as well. Mind you, Muslims, Christians, Jews will go to hell as well, like Mushrikun. So even in hell we have different areas, in paradise we have different areas as well. Religion is...
It's so easy. It's not like other religion, which is hard.
Islam. Well, all religions have actually one day used to give the same message, isn't it? Now, they have complicated. Ours is more stricter. Oh, I see. I don't think so. I mean, if you were given the burden of understanding Christian theology, you would have known that Islam is much easier than Christianity. I mean, and of course, when we talk about Christians, we have to bear in mind, just like Muslims, we have different schools, mazahib, and all these things, and Christians who were really Christians, and then those who were somehow Romanized Christians, and they actually allowed all sorts of practices disregarding Sharia of Musa alayhi salam. Now, however, even these Christians who are not following anything, Jesus will intercede for them, as is mentioned in Surah Ma'idah. But if they have not performed Salat, what will happen to them? Yes, they don't have, okay, but initially they had, okay, it was in their religion. But now they do not perform Salat. What happens to them? They are saved, but they don't come to your level, to your station, because your soul has actually grasped more, absorbed more. So don't think this is an advantage, this is a disadvantage. However, Allah will save them. Inshallah, to a station which is not similar to your station. Yeah. Okay? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The significance of that gate is to show us how merciful Allah is. Still, after putting that barrier, there is still a hope for some people to pass from the dark side to the bright side. There is still a hope. فَضُرِبَ بَيْلَهُمْ بِسُورٌ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قَبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ بِسُورٍ لَهَا بَابٌ. Okay, there is a gate in it. So, there is still hope. Still hope for anyone who may be saved. Do we have time for more questions? One more question.
If a person is passing the bridge of Sirat and he's going to fall into hell,
yeah.
Then when is the book of Aman is going to be opened and mentioned?
You see, you didn't come for 2 weeks. And now you are asking about things which went before, okay? All right. Thank you very much.